Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you could bring back any New York City business from the dead, which one would you pick and why? That's a question that was posted to the Ask NYC subreddit earlier this month. And here are some of the replies. Fairway Market up on 125th by the river. It was just grocery shopping, but I always felt like it was such a treat. Mars 2112, because I always wanted to go there as a kid. It never got my chance. It was weird. Original FAO Schwartz. That place was so cool as a kid and just massive. The new one feels small and janky and just taking advantage of the name glory from the nostalgia of the original. The Reddit post got more than 1,500 replies, like those examples. So we know folks have opinions. And as you heard from some of those replies, they are sentimental about this question. And we know you love hearing, we love hearing your opinions here on all of it. So we wanted to bring the conversation to the air. Listeners, we want to hear about your favorite New York City business of yesteryear. So give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692. Bars, restaurants, shops, venues, any other New York City institution that is now closed. It can be closed because of the pandemic, or maybe your fave closed before the pandemic. Call in and tell us why it's your favorite. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can hit us up on social media at all of it, WNYC. And joining us now to take those calls is Gothamist WNYC Arts and Culture Editor Ben Yakis. Ben, this is sort of your beat.
Yes, I spent more time than I care to say documenting places closing, especially over the last 2 years.
All right, so we asked you for a couple of your favorites just to kick things off and get people warmed up. Tell us about other music.
So, you know, other music was sort of a classic East Village record and music store. And it was one of those places, I think a lot of businesses, especially when it comes to music and record stores, what we miss out by buying online or going to Discogs or whatever it is, mm-hmm. So you miss the experience of walking into a store, hearing something is playing and being like, hey, what is that? That sounds really good. And making a discovery. And then having people who are knowledgeable, who can then give you recommendations and tell you things. That is the sort of personal small business experience mm-hmm. that I think people really miss. And Other Music was a place that had some of the best, most knowledgeable, and somewhat intimidating people working there who could recommend a wide range of music and different kinds of things. And yeah, it was always, every time I went there, I'd get something new that I'd never heard of before.
Why do you say intimidating?
Intimidating. Well, you know, music people can be a little snobbish, a little bit turning up their nose if, you know, you're looking for something a little basic. And then there were a lot of people at Other Music in particular who were musicians themselves, people who were in bands, if I'm not mistaken, members of like Animal Collective worked mm-hmm. there in the early aughts.
And I this jogged my memory. We had on filmmakers who made a documentary about Other Music. So if you go into the WNYC archives, you can check this out. All right. So apparently you really like this place that made Taiwanese bao buns.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me
Bao
about
House.
This
was, yeah, this is really the place that put Eddie Huang on the map. This was what launched his career. And it opened in 2009, which happened to be the same year that I started working at Gothamist. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of memories, and they moved to 14th Street, I think a year or two later. But I have a lot of memories of going out to events, gallery openings, whatever it is after work with coworkers. And then we're kind of like, well, we got to get something to eat. Why don't we just stop by Bauhaus? And I have this very particular memory. One year I was going to try breast milk cheese by Chef Daniel Angerer. This was like a really hot thing for about 2 months that he was creating breast milk cheese. And I, like, after eating it, I was like, I need something to wash this down. We got to go get some pork belly bows. And it's just an indelible moment I'll never forget.
Oh, hot in whose mind? but that business didn't close because of pandemic or any mm-hmm. sort of financial hardship. It's because the chef wanted to move on. Does that change the way you feel about it at all?
I think so. I think, you know, especially during the pandemic, we have had so many places where everything is just out of control. It's out of the control of customers. It's out of the control of business owners. There are just forces at work in terms of the pandemic and the economics of it that have led to so many closures of beloved small places that when you actually hear about a place that is choosing to close because the owner has made a decision or, you know, they don't want to do it anymore, whatever it would be, I think that that's a little more, there's not as much pain involved in it as it is with some of these other places that feel like they were taken from us too soon.
We are talking about your favorite New York City businesses of yesteryear that you wish could come back. My guest is Ben Yakas, arts and culture editor for Gothamist and WNYC. You, of course, Team Olivet, are my guest as well. Let's hit the phone lines, which are not surprisingly full. Let's go to Aaron on line one. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing great. What do you miss?
We are so excited to be able to tell you about what we miss. It's a neighborhood restaurant called Zoma. It was an Ethiopian restaurant up in Harlem. And I'm here with my daughter, Nisha.
Hi.
Hi.
And it was our go-to place for birthdays or to take family or, like I said, on a cold day like this.
It was the neighborhood joint. It was part of our heart.
It was the neighborhood joint, was it? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to ask you,
what are they doing now? We miss them. So I'm hoping they're listening to give them a shout out.
Anybody likes Ethiopian food is a friend of mine. You can eat with your hands, the injera. Oh, it's so good. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Nate calling in from the Lower East Side. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Allison. I've spoken with you before. I love talking to you and I love this subject. Dan kind of stole my thunder. I was calling about record stores. So if I could, I'd like to pivot away from that because he kind of covered that. And I miss Daffy's. Daffy's they had the worst tagline. It was bargains for millionaires. That didn't make sense, but it was a place where you could go and just pick out all of these great designer clothes and whatnot. And, you know, you could put it on layaway. It was really cool and fun, and I missed that. But your previous caller, if I could, real quick, do a plug for my friends I've called before about Binium, which is on between 148th and 149th on Frederick Douglass, where Zoma used to be. So come, go and visit them there. You know, Ethiopian food, that's my go-to, you know, and they're still open in spite of the pandemic.
Love it.
Yeah, but what I... Yeah, and I'm from the Lower East Side, but right now I'm across from the old Century 21 on Broadway downtown. I miss that also. I love bargain hunting.
Clearly, and I bet you were good at it. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Kevin on line five. Hi, Kevin's calling in from Madison, New Jersey. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Allison, how you doing? I spent 44 of my formative years in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Nice. And there's two places or two joints that I miss terribly. The Little Record Store was on 86th Street between 4th and 5th. And across the street was a little store called Century 21. We called it Centuries in Bay Ridge. Mm-hmm. Then they became this monstrous thing through the 70s and 80s. And then it took over three quarters of the block. They took over part of 87th. And, of course, they had the location on Cortland by the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. But those were the places I spent a ton of time in, buying all my albums, getting tickets at Ticketron, the Little Record Store, and, of course, going to Century's on Monday nights at 8:30 when the store was empty. I had the whole joint to myself. But I missed those places terribly. They were fantastic and a big part of the neighborhood.
Love it. Thank you. You painted such a great picture. Let's check in with Alan on line nine. Hi, Alan. You got Alan for me? Yeah, there's Alan. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. A few came to mind immediately. Two of them are old Art Deco classics like Horn and Hardart and Ratner's. Mm-hmm. Horn and Hardart, the one across from Radio City, and Ratner's on Delancey near the Williamsburg Bridge exit. Those are big losses. And then three with a name starting with E, Eisenberg's, about a century-old wonderful little diner that used to be on Fifth Avenue near 22nd Street. It's closed during COVID. The Edison Diner was renovated into a nice outfit, but it totally lost the character of a place where theater workers could go before their matinee started and come for a cup of coffee and a slice of pie, and they'd sit with theater goers, and they had all these yellowing posters of shows all around them. So they raised their prices and made it more glitzy, but it doesn't have the same character. And Ellen's restaurant used to have pictures of Miss Subway and local politicians on Broadway across from City Hall, and that was killed by the aftermath of 9/11. Mm. Now it's a bank, so we've lost a lot of character.
Appreciate the call. Ben Yak is his arts and culture editor for Gothamist. We're talking about places we wish you could bring back from the dead. Twitter's gone bananas, as you can imagine, Ben. Miss Kiev, Polish restaurants on 7th Avenue. Jeff says, my vote is for Lundy's in Sheepshead Bay. John said the Automat. Too young to have experienced it. Great idea, especially for today's world. I believe there's a new book out about the Automat, because I think I want to book it for the show.
There's a documentary as well. I'm not sure if those are related or not, but I know the documentary just premiered.
Well, you want to hear, I know Marcy Hardart of Horn and Hardart, old friend of mine, and her husband for their wedding gift got a piece of the Automat, and when they moved to Santa Monica, had it made part of their renovation.
Oh, that's nice. That's very
sweet.
Isn't
that cool?
Yeah.
Enough about that. Can I give you some of my go-to, Ben, that I
please,
was thinking about?
Please.
Rags a Go-Go on 14th Street. Some of the best vintage hunting going. Cucina de Pesce on East 4th when I first moved to New York in the 80s with my friend David Kim. We were scratching to get by because he was an editorial assistant at the Village Voice and I was an assistant at MTV, like cleaning out the copy machine. And you could get mussels for free during happy hour. We had many dinners. We ate a lot of mussels in Cucina de Pesce. Hourglass Tavern on West 46th Street. It used to be this little place, like seven tables, and they had an hourglass over the table. And to get you to theater on time, they turn the hourglass over, and they'd get your meal on the table in an hour. It was pretty delicious.
That's efficiency. Why don't we have that anymore?
So, you know, do you think the pandemic has people feeling more nostalgic for places?
Yeah, I think it, you know, it touches on what I was sort of saying before, which is that there have been so many places taken from us over the last 2 years where they kind of seem to disappear overnight, where people didn't get a chance to mourn them or to really try to fight for them the way they sometimes have had a chance in the past. So you walk around your neighborhood and it's like you go out and all of a sudden there are just these empty storefronts, these empty buildings. And obviously this has been an ongoing process in the city because the city is always changing. Change is baked into the pavement of New York City. And New Yorkers generally, especially people who have been here for a long time, they learn to roll with it because the city is really fueled by new people, new ideas, new businesses. But what I keep thinking about, listening to some of the callers, what you're saying, what we're talking about, is how much in nostalgia, how much looking back at places, everything kind of flattens a bit between small businesses and then bigger stores. Because like Daffy's had 19 stores. It wasn't like a mom and pop shop anymore by that time. And I'm thinking about like the Virgin Megastore at 14th Street, where I used to go and see bands in the basement. Yeah. And it was like my favorite place to hang out. And at the time, it was like, I don't know, it was a little uncool. It's like, oh, Virgin, you don't want to go to Virgin. You want to go to like the little stores. And now it's like, I just learned that Duane Reade in my corner is closing in a couple weeks, and I'm apoplectic about it. So yes, it's fascinating.
It is interesting. We've got a couple Barnes & Nobles on the list, which is so interesting because you think about people wanting to be in indie stores, but they really were a place to hang for a while.
Yeah. I worked at a Borders for a while, and it was like corporate, but then also you just were working with people who loved literature and books. The best atmosphere.
Let's take a few more calls. Let's go to Joe on line one. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling in. You're in Staten Island?
I am. I'm in Staten Island. And I have to say, this segment is just heartbreaking. And like you, I used to eat at the trough of Cucina de Pesce years ago. That was just amazing. All those mussels, they just kept putting them out there.
They just kept coming.
I know. And they didn't seem to mind. And But I was calling about my family had a restaurant right on the same street as the Edison Diner. And I have to agree with the other caller. It's a shame that that's gone. And it was called Del Soma. And it hasn't been open for almost 30 years. And it kind of closed in another pandemic. We had kind of a pandemic in the 90s of crack and crime and people didn't come to the theater. And if they did, they just got out and the restaurant closed after 48 years of being open. And we were thinking about it recently because we had a lot of celebrities in there, and Sidney Poitier was one of our favorite people who would come in. And when he won the Oscar for Lilies of the Field, or before he won it, my uncle bet him that he was going to win, and he said no, he wasn't. And my uncle said, "Well, if you don't win, you can have a party here, and if you do win, you have to bring your Oscar and you have to take a photograph here in the restaurant with my family." And he won, and he did, and we have the photograph, and it's a cherished memory. And the place was, we were kind of like a center on that street with stagehands and actors, and we would host parties for children and elderly people at Christmas time. And, you know, it's maybe it's because I miss my family, but it's also, you know, it's New York is less rich than it was, it seems, or maybe I'm not looking in the right places. I'm not sure.
Well, two things. One, would you take a picture of that picture and send it to us in some way? I'll get one of our screeners to get you on the phone. I would love to see it. And two, you know what I think? I think, and Ben, you can chime in on this. One of the things I have noticed is there are a lot of smaller businesses. I've just noticed in the past 6 months popping up that people who are making big changes in their lives have always dreamed of having a restaurant, a store, or maybe had started on Instagram and now are going for a brick and mortar. One of my favorite hat designers just opened up his own store, and he's Fourth Essential. Like, and he had always been on Instagram, and he just had an opportunity to do it and went for it. So I tend to be a cockeyed optimist, but I'm hoping that as we mourn these places, there are new places being born that we'll come to love.
I think I tend to side with you as well on that. Again, like, the city is all about change. It is inevitable. It is something that is really unstoppable. And obviously we have things like the Landmarks Commission, whose whole job is to be able to preserve some of the architecture in some of these places to make sure that it does stand for as long as possible. But generally speaking, on most streets, there is going to be a certain amount of turnover that happens always. I am heartened by the fact that during the pandemic, as you said, a lot of people are taking a long, hard look at their goals on what they want to do. And they're saying, why waste any more time? Mm-hmm. And I think the other side of that is there's a lot of New Yorkers who have been looking around and saying, I'm not able to do as much as I used to be able to do in the city. This isn't quite the same right now culturally as it was 2-3 years ago. Do I still have a place in this city? Is this still where I should be paying extra money to be able to live? So there's a lot of interesting tensions there. And then hopefully there will be young and new people coming in, although apparently rents are back up again. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Let's check in with Justine on line 2, who's been holding for a while. Hi, Justine. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I still get a little teary-eyed over the Gotham Bookmart, even though they closed about 15 years ago. I mean, that place was, I mean, it was like oxygen to me when I first moved to the city.
Sure.
You know, books were everything. They still are. And, you know, they were great. You know, John, he knew, I mean, when you think that everybody needs a computer today, everybody needs, you know, something to help them find things or to find out about something. He just knew. And it seemed like everybody who had ever picked up a pen, he knew about, and he could tell you, the book is, their chapbook over there, they weren't just a cafe that sold books. They were, that's what you went there for. And
I want to dive in because you know what, you're sparking off an idea for me. Thank you for calling in Ben, I'm hearing people also say they miss expertise. Mm-hmm. They miss customer service. They miss human connection to the thing they went to buy. They're not just going in and out to get something.
Yeah. And I mean, the personalities behind these small businesses, that's what imbues them with meaning for people. It's not just that you miss the physical space, although sometimes it is that. It's that you miss the personalities behind those spaces that you knew, that you became a regular, you became friendly with, that were a part of your neighborhood stitching. And I think that, you know, so much of commerce is now done online. You know, you're buying so many things off Amazon or, you know, hopefully you can go to smaller, more local businesses, but even so, you're missing that interaction. And I think we all, especially now with the pandemic, really miss more especially casual conversations and having acquaintances mm-hmm. and kind of, I love, my favorite thing in the world is I go to my bagel place and they know me now and I just put up my fingers and they get me two bagels and then I can just leave. I say, you know, how are your kids? See you tomorrow, whatever it is. It's the best thing being a regular.
All right. I'm just going to name off a few that people, a lot of people have said. Florent, Landmark Sunshine, Pearl Paint for Art Supplies, Meow Mix, St. Mark Sounds, Dojo. Oh, I hate Dojo a lot. Polo Grounds, Automat, Maxwell's Plum, Max Fish, Unique Clothing, Ratner, St. Mark's Bookstore, Malfetta's and 9th Avenue. Ooh, that was good too. Tower Records, Labels for Less. How about that? And Joe says, I'd bring back Excelsior, a gay bar in Brooklyn that closed a few years ago. I had a great group of regulars and wonderful staff and owners. So many good memories today. Hey, Ben Yakis, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.